What do you do with an industry that is environmentally destructive, inefficient, doesn't have wide community support, and can't stand on its own feet financially without government subsidies? Welcome to the world of biomass energy, a form of electricity generation that doesn't address climate change, does destroy native forests, but survives only by its classification as a renewable energy resource. This Wednesday, it was declared an International Day of Action Against Bioenergy. I spoke to Peg Putt, former leader of the Tasmanian Greens Party and now CEO of Markets for Change.
Biofuels are the products that are being produced for energy from biological substances, that is, from crops and from forests and trees, rather than from fossil fuels. So they're coming out of the biosphere rather than the geosphere. They are often alleged to be climate friendly, but in fact, burning these materials releases a lot of carbon. And in the case of forests, that carbon won't be recaptured for many decades and in fact centuries if you're talking about some of the carbon dense forests in Australia and other parts of the world, which of course is much too long away to make any difference in relation to human-induced climate change, where we have to really get things under control by 2030.
They sound very friendly, don't they, biofuels? It sounds like it could be a good thing for the environment.
Well, yes, and I think this is one of the deceptive points, is that the word bio is often used by people to mean, you know, jolly good and green, but actually, in this case, all it means is it grew recently rather than a really long time ago, like coal or oil. And on top of that, of course, a lot of greenwashing goes on to say that because the product that's burnt can be grown, it must be carbon neutral because, you know, after all, you chop down a tree grows back. The problem is the timescale and the fact that you release these massive emissions now, just when we are meant to be stopping emissions, and that sequestration takes a very long time and doesn't make a difference anytime soon. I mean, all you have to do really is think about it. Think about a massive old growth tree and think about a seedling and think which one has a lot more carbon in it and how long it takes for a seedling to turn into a huge big old tree. And that's how long it takes before you get back to being carbon neutral, if you ever do in the case of logging operations, because once a native forest is brought into a logging regime, it never gets to grow back to where it was before. It keeps on being logged at regular intervals and the carbon all gets knocked down again and goes into the atmosphere, you know, on somewhere between 30 and 80 year rotations. Actually, sometimes now it's down to 15 years, which means that it never actually even absorbs the carbon that it released. So the whole idea of carbon neutrality is actually a bunch of greenwashing nonsense.
Is this something that's pushed mostly by commercial interests who own these fuels, or do you think there's an element of governments sort of claiming that they're doing something for the environment?
Companies, of course, want to greenwash themselves and what they're doing, but governments do too, and governments have been a big part of this. Of course, under the influence of various industry players, in particular the forest industry, which we know is very powerful in influencing the policies of governments at both the national and state and territory levels. And the point here is that governments have actually collaborated under the Kyoto Protocol, so that's Australia and a lot of other developed countries, in relation to how accounting for carbon emissions is done at the international level under the UN, under the Kyoto Protocol. And what they basically did was not develop a full accounting system across the whole land sector, such that there have been big loopholes where the accounting for emissions out of land and forests actually hasn't occurred at all. And so it makes it look as if there were no emissions when actually there was a flawed accounting system. There have also been complicated scams to do with the baseline against which things are measured, which again has led to a controversial accounting, which is generally called the perverse accounting of this section of the Kyoto protocol. That's how it's known internationally. I won't go into it all now, but the effect can be that even when there's an increase in emissions, it gets booked as if there's been a reduction in emissions. And that has to get sorted out. As the Paris Agreement comes into force, we cannot afford to bring this shonky creative accounting into the Paris Agreement. We actually have to have straight up and down accounting or reporting of exactly what's going on with the carbon going to atmosphere.
So you're down in Tasmania, where, of course, the forests there have been under siege for a long time for logging and now also for biofuels. What is the effect on Tasmania's forest of the biofuel industry?
Well, the government at the moment down here is still reeling from the collapse of the wood chip industry a good 5 years ago now, the wood chip export industry, which happened because the logging practices were so unacceptable to the international markets. And what they're trying to do is to resuscitate the forest industry by finding another big industry that will take that same sort of material that was export wood chips, that high volume, low value material that's generated in clear felling operations. So when they lost export wood chipping, the industry collapsed. Now they want something else to replace that so they can keep on clear felling at that same level. And the government is saying that this, they call it a residue solution, you know, all sorts of words to make sure we don't know we're really talking about killing nice forests, that would replace export wood chipping, and there will be a series of large biomass burners for native forests set up around the state to generate electricity. The problem is it's not really economic unless it gets government subsidy. And that's why Abbott changed the RET, the renewable energy target, some years ago to bring native forest biomass in under the RET, because then it could get subsidised that way. And that would help them, you know, reconstruct the whole logging industry.
So we have a situation where something which is destroying our forests and adding to climate emissions is being given government money as renewable energy in place of actual renewable energy sources.
Yes, that's right. It's been competing inside the renewable energy target with wind and solar. So bringing it in there means that it can displace wind and solar. Things are going to change now that we've got the NEG announced a day or two ago by the Prime Minister, but we don't quite know how, because we don't know whether the states are going to get on board and so on. You know, maybe the subsidy for forest biomass will go, but we don't think so, because it's been put in the dispatchables basket, which means it's going to get ongoing support and requirements to utilise it along with coal and gas. The biomass industry are crowing, so therefore I'm feeling pretty freaked out to think that this thing that destroys biodiversity, harms the climate, is going to continue to somehow get a leg up from government.